You are listening to the Game on TV podcast on gameontv.com.au. Merry Christmas, bitches.
Hello and welcome to the Game on TV podcast. This is the final podcast of the year.
It is. Merry Christmas.
Indeed. I'm Tim.
I'm Jason.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 indeed.
Is what I am.
Yeah.
It is the best of 2011.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah. We're going to be taking a break after this one, although I do think I might put up some edited versions, or maybe I might just repost some of the earlier podcasts while we're away for the people, you know, who just want to listen to my dulcet tones.
Over
the Christmas break, you can hear what we thought about games 7 months ago.
Tis the season, you know what they say?
Yeah. So we're going to be doing a top five games and pretty much our top movie for the year and so on and so forth. But before we launch into that, I've had a pretty big week in games.
I'll tell
you something that I did play this week,
which I
dare say will come as quite a surprise.
Yeah.
Uncharted 3.
That is a surprise. Yeah. And it's a surprise only because you didn't have access to a PlayStation. Do you have access to a PlayStation?
My brother, I was around at my brother's place and he had his PS3. So I jumped on and played a good sort of 5 or 6 hours of Uncharted 3.
Are you game of the year?
It's not my game of the year. It almost made the list, I'll be honest with you. It's a damn fine game. Although, I tell you what, I can understand a lot of the issues that people are having with it, which, you know, it's a very strange thing that's happening at this time of the year where there's a lot of games where people are going, it's great, it's fantastic, and other people are going, it's horrible, it's boring. And I think one of the big problems the feedback that Uncharted 3 was getting, which was similar to the negative feedback that Modern Warfare 3 was getting, was that because it's quite a linear storyline and you're kind of guided on where you have to go, it's almost that, well, I don't entirely feel like I'm playing the game. Which I actually disagree with, but also as we've discussed in the past, what I really look for in a game is that engaging story mode and stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, Uncharted 3 has done a pretty great job of getting in on the story.
Yeah, I mean the guys at Naughty Dog, their whole idea and ideology, I guess, is to make their games as cinematic as possible.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer that I stuck up on the site?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That I put up there yesterday. I guess it'd be at least a couple of days old by the time you listen to this.
Yeah.
Which is Naughty Dog's new game.
Yes.
They were very tight-lipped about what they were doing next when we were chatting. We were actually chatting to one of the lead art designers down at the launch for Uncharted 3. And he was very tight-lipped about what was happening next. They said, well, are you going to do Uncharted 4? And he was like, we can't really say, but, you know, we really like this character, but we've been working on this character for a long time and, you know. And it was really funny because I had this conversation. I actually recall you weren't even there. So this is at the Uncharted launch.
I was
talking to myself.
I was trying to peek behind the curtain.
Let me tell you about this. So we had a chat with one of the lead art guys there, and he was saying, you know, he's being really coy about it, and he's like, you know, well, we've been making these games for a while, and you know, we've had you know, since our very first game of Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Came out and we did that Crash Bandicoot for ages. Now we've been doing the Uncharted series for ages. I went, that's not your first game. He said, oh yeah, Crash Bandicoot. I said, no, I have your first game. It's Way of the Warrior on the 3DO. And he looked at me and goes, oh, we don't mention that. and we're like, but that was your first game, right? He goes, yeah, that was our first game. He goes, but we don't actually publicly put that out there because it was like, I don't know if you remember it. It was a full motion sort of Mortal Kombat, really violent. Look, I mean, the gameplay was terrible. The controls were terrible. But the game was actually fun and I really enjoyed it. I love the old Panasonic 3DO when they decided to get into the market for 5 minutes back in the early 90s. And so he was like, wow, dude, you really are old school. And I said, no, I'm just old.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. But But he was very tight-lipped about what they're doing next. And obviously, they'd been working on this game for years, so they kept it really under wraps.
Yeah.
The game is called The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And it's the Omega Man. I was going to say I, Robot, but it's not. It's I, Am Legend.
It's I, Am Legend. Yep, yeah, yep.
It's any other Will Smith movie that's made. It's Men in Black. It's what it is. It's
I, Independence Day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's look, it is what it is. I thought graphically it looks great, cinematically it looks great. It's all in-game engine stuff. So your vibe on Uncharted? Because I mean, my list, I actually did the top 10 games of the year.
I do have a top 10. I've really only
Angry Birds.
I've really only rated my top five. There's 10 games, and I've listed the top five. I guess my 10 till 5 or 10 to 6 is going to be just random games.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, it's just Angry Birds 10 times, really.
You got Angry Birds. You got Angry Birds Rio.
You got Angry Birds HD.
I mean, there's plenty of Angry Birds to go around.
You've got Angry Birds LARPing, where I just go out with plush Angry Birds toys and throw them at people. Women that I consider to be pigs. Well, that's sexist.
It's true,
ladies and gentlemen. I almost got through the year without sexism, but I couldn't make it.
No, you never can. Have you seen the movie trailer to Angry Birds on YouTube?
No. Oh, yes, no, I have. Yeah.
It's terrible, but it's awesome, but it's terrible. Go and have a look at it.
It is good fun.
Yes, okay, so you played lots of gaming on Uncharted.
I played a lot of Uncharted. Yep. I also played I don't want to go this far, but I am going to say my biggest disappointment game for the year, I played a fair bit of Need for Speed The Run. Which, it's been out for a while now, so you pretty much already know what's going on with it, but... I mean, it was no secret. I was really looking forward to this game. I thought it was going to be top notch. It really, I mean, the concept for the game is amazing, and the execution is really so poor that it's just been quite a disappointment for me.
Yeah, I went down and bought the game basically based on looking good. So you know what? I'm going to drop a sweet $80 on it and barely touched it.
It's load times for a start are killer, painful load times, especially when it's rewinding.
Right.
You know, and the thing was, when I played the demo of it, that was a different thing, which obviously they've just sat there and gone, well, it's taxing the engine too much. Like, it would give you a little rewind graphic, like you would see what had happened with your race and it would run backwards. But they obviously canned that by the time the game came out. You know, all of the out-of-car stuff is just, you know, cutscenes, which I'm not a big fan of cutscenes, interactive cutscenes. What are they? QuickTime events.
Sure.
You know, because you never really engaged in the story because you're too busy waiting for the button to come up that you have to press.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, you go, well, look, go one or the other. Give me a full interactive, scene out of the car, or just give me a movie because I don't want to just
be hitting
buttons.
But this is the thing, right? Yeah, but this is the thing. When a game comes out and says, have a look at our trailer made by Michael Bay, what do you expect? I mean, you're going to expect it looking flashy, but you're going to have absolutely zero substance. That's what he does. Yeah. And if they're going, like, if that's their benchmark of what they want to do, Michael Bay will really sell this game. then really, we should have known it from the start.
Yeah, you're behind the trailer from the get-go. It's kind of, it's weird because, I mean, the thing is, it starts, I'll spoil it. Don't buy the game. You might enjoy it, I don't know. But the thing is, you know, it starts and you're in San Francisco and you know, the woman that's sponsoring you to enter this race goes, all right, you've got to get out of the city. And by the time you hit Vegas, you need to be in 150th place or something. And you've got all these cars and you're like, well, this is great. I'm just going to be... you know, driving
racing
to Vegas.
Yeah,
and just overtaking cars all the way. But in the end, the execution of that, it's not. You know, you have these little individual races that go, you need to overtake five people in this race or whatever. But you can't do more than that. You can't accumulate overtakes and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's in the end, in the execution, it's just another racing game that's...
The thing that gets me, I installed it onto the hard drive. The thing that gets me is the load time still, even with the installation. The gameplay for Need for Speed, the runs, gave me the runs.
Yeah,
very much the runs.
Yeah.
But... But it was, look, it's...
That's a pun, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello. Look at that. Look, but in the end of the day, it's something that I, it's a pretty looking game.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous, and that was the thing that I was like, I really want to like it, and I'm not saying I hate the game.
No, no,
it's not the worst game of the year by any stretch. But it was just such a disappointment.
Certainly doesn't compare to other driving games this year, which we'll get onto a bit later. Yeah. Hey, listen, the VGAs were on the weekend.
Yes,
and for those who don't know, that's the Video Game Awards, and that was run by the guys over in Spike TV over in the States, which is a very popular.
Yeah.
Popular youth channel. And a me channel, really. Because
the youth like it.
Yeah.
And you like it.
And I like
you
it.
And
it's,
you.
It does everything from the UFC through to the...
brings you Survivor.
To,
the Celebrity Apprentice.
That's right. And G4.
Yes.
So so there's lots of good stuff. And I just wanted to go through a couple of the winners. In fact, their winners.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
And we're going to start off with the best DLC. They had a couple of people. They had Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
From Mortal Kombat, which I was really disappointed with. Not that they had it, just that I can't actually get it because I'm in Australia. And if I had a copy of said game, I would be very happy to download a Freddy Krueger character to have a bit of fun with that. I couldn't get that. So I was disappointed with that. But the category was between Portal 2, Fallout, New Vegas, Mass Effect 2, and the Freddy Krueger download. And, Portal 2 won that.
Right.
In fact, you'll find a lot of Portal 2 sort of stuff came out with the VGAs.
Yeah, right.
And for the best independent game was your favourite game.
Bastion.
Bastion won that one. And but, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I just wanted to pick out that. The Game of the Year.
Yeah. Controversial.
Game of the Year is the game that we haven't even played.
Yeah.
Skyrim.
Yeah.
So, look, it was a bit of a controversial one. But, hey, the one that I wanted to find out was, because I'm such a big fan, was who won Best Shooter? Do you know who won Best Shooter?
I think it was Battlefield 3.
No.
It? No?
Call of Duty 3.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so it won that.
Yeah, okay.
So, so the VGAs, go online, have a look at the winners if you want. It was a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, you can probably go on YouTube and watch some bits and pieces.
I think you can watch some bits and pieces.
Yeah, it's a classy event.
Yeah, yeah.
So any other games you've been playing?
I did just briefly want to mention on the iOS.
Yes.
Batman Lockdown. Arkham City Lockdown. Yeah, have you played it?
Yeah, got it.
How'd you go with it?
Very repetitive.
Yep.
Looks great.
It does look great.
I like playing the batarang bits where you sort of tilt the, you sort of knock them down.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it's for a quick game of beating people up.
Yep.
It's a bit of fun, it's kind of fun.
See, I would say if you're going one or the other, if you're saying I'm going to do Infinity Blade 2 or Batman Lockdown, Batman Lockdown is essentially the link between Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Right.
I would say go Infinity Blade 2. It's kind of trying to be the same game. It's gesture based. It's Infinity Blade 2, but I think Infinity Blade 2 does it better. So if it was one or the other, I'd go Infinity Blade 2 unless you're Batman, crazy.
I was going to say Batmanic.
Batmanic.
Oh,
you're awake is what this is.
Hello.
let's launch into our Game of the Year, and we will throw the blanket caveat out here, ladies and gentlemen, neither of us have played Skyrim. If you want to hear us big up Skyrim, it's not going to happen here. I'm looking forward to playing it over Christmas. But,
so my Game of the Year is Skyrim. No, I'm just kidding.
So let's launch into our Game of the Year deliberations, I guess, starting with number 10.
Well, I mean, I've got my number 10 was the one that I actually picked right at the beginning of the year. This has got to be Game of the Year.
Yeah.
L.A. Noire.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that came in at number 10 for me.
Came in at number 10.
Look, great game.
Yep.
Solid game.
Yep.
I just think better games came out since.
Yeah. I would say, as I said, my 10 to 6 is in no particular order. My bottom 5 is...
The bottom, the scum of the fire.
Yeah. So the first one I'm going to throw out there is Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Yeah, right.
Really enjoyed the game. I thought it was a lot of fun to play, and the story was great. I really enjoyed the progression of the story.
Interesting. I've been playing more of it. Assassin's Creed Revelations did not even make it into my list.
Yeah, right.
I was bored.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked good. I liked being dragged behind carts and doing stuff. But in the end of the day, it was just the same. To me, it was the same game.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Yeah, but I mean, people say, but the story's so cool. Yeah, the story is cool. Make a movie, guys. I'm going to see the movie.
Well, you see, because I can understand what you're saying, but for me, as I've said, Story is what I'm after, and I like the interactive elements, and I really was engaged with the story. I enjoyed it. So that's my 10.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Number 9 for me, Saints Row the Third.
Ah, yes.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those things that I didn't know where to put Saints Row.
Yep.
It certainly wasn't in my top 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So I kind of just threw it down the bottom there just to make a mention of it because it is a lot of fun. And it's one of those go-to games when you want to just go a little crazy.
Yeah.
And silly. You know? It's a silly out there. I mean, it's like watching Die Hard with Batman all rolled in together.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this kind of weird sort of exciting, fun, but ridiculous thing all at the same time. So,
yeah.
I love it.
Terrific.
Yep.
Number 9 for me was Gears of War 3.
Yeah, which, right.
You know.
Wow.
I might have thought it would be higher.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would have
thought it was right up there.
Really enjoyed it while I was playing it, but its longevity hasn't been what I was hoping for.
Sure.
You know, Gears of War 2, as I said, I played pretty much for a solid year after I got it. Gears.
Yeah.
Once I finished the story mode, the tweaks and additions to Horde were fun for a bit, but at the end of the day, I just haven't gone back to it as much as would warrant it being higher on my list.
Which is interesting because my number 8 was Gears 3.
Was it?
So I was around the same sort of.
Yeah.
And that's because I'm just not that invested into the series.
Yeah.
So it was like it was a very pretty game, as you said. But it didn't hold me, and I think that was more to do with the fact that I'm not a massive Gears 2, Gears fan.
Yeah.
And that could be a lot of that's because I've only just got the Xbox, so I'm very late to the Xbox sort of games.
Yeah, yeah.
So, so that's my 8.
Your number 8? My number 8 is, randomly, let's call it Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception.
Nice.
As I said, really enjoyed the game, quite engaging. There are those moments where you go, wow, you really are trying to be Indiana Jones. And quite all right. It's quite fun. It's not higher because, quite frankly, I haven't played enough of it to rate it that high.
Sure.
Mm.
Which is funny because my number 7 is Uncharted 3 as well.
Yeah, right.
So that's all right. Yes. Look, and for me, it was a very pretty game.
Yep.
But it was more of the same. And that was its downfall for me. Also, it blew up my PlayStation.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, oh, damn it to hell. Actually, it had nothing to do with my PlayStation blowing up. PlayStation's back now. It's all good. So that was my 8, wasn't it?
Yes. No, that was your 7.
That was my 7, yep.
Yeah, so my 7 is, and this might feature higher on your list, so I won't go into too much detail for this. For me, it was Driver San Francisco, which is the only racing game, I think, that's made my list. But it was probably the most enjoyable race. It was the most surprising game for me this year. I really wasn't expecting much from Driver, and it was such a great, enjoyable experience. So Driver San Francisco, that's my number 7.
I'll talk about, it is a bit higher on my list, so I'll talk about it when I get there. So, but I agree with what you're saying. I think it's a very good game.
Mm.
My number 6.
Yes.
Battlefield 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I really enjoyed the game. Nowhere near as good as other shooters that may come up on my list.
Uh-huh.
But I very much enjoyed it, and it made my number 6 spot. Is that what we're up to?
Number 6.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
That made my 6 spot. So,
yeah.
So Battlefield 3.
My number 6.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to duck behind a shield here.
Oh, I know where you're going.
My number 6 game.
Another shooter.
Modern Warfare 3.
Right.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. You know, I as I said, I really enjoyed it and so on and so forth. I thought it was a very good, great cinematic experience. You know, a good adrenaline rush and all of that sort of stuff. I haven't really gone too much into the multiplayer.
I noticed.
Yeah, it hasn't captured me in the way that I thought it would. I mean, it's still in, you know, it's still number 6.
But didn't you say you're top?
Yeah, whatever. So, look, I'm going to say Modern Warfare 3. That's my number 6.
Damn you.
Yeah.
Number 5 for me.
Yeah.
Was a game which I really thoroughly enjoyed, and it could have been higher.
Yeah.
Could have been higher. It wasn't, but because there's some really strong games out there.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
Mortal Kombat was my number 5 game and brings up my top 5.
I believe it was in Tom Doyle's.
Tom Doyle. Let me have a look at it, and I had a go
in
the States.
Yeah.
Great game. I think that what they did was they managed to capture the entire Mortal Kombat series and really roll it into one game where it actually made sense.
Yeah.
And so I found the story mode so entertaining. I found You know, just the gameplay, just fantastic. And the 3D, just out of this world. So, yeah. Mortal Kombat, one of the best games of the year for sure. It's a shame that it never got released here in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's still time. Not before Christmas, though. My number five, I would say, probably wouldn't have even made your top 50. My number five is Bastion.
No,
I brought Bastion in
game of the year, independent game of the year.
Independent game of the year. It was, you know, it's a DLC, a download only game, but I really, really enjoyed it. I think you can get it for $5 on Steam at the moment, and there's some DLC coming out for it soon. It was such a great experience. You know, I think I wrote a review on it, which is on the site. You know, the soundtrack I loved. We've spoken about the narrator, and I really just enjoyed this sort of old style gaming mechanics and stuff. So number five for me, Bastion.
Yeah, look, I love the narrator, but that was about it. Yeah. I thought the narrator was great, and I understand why people are digging it. It just didn't appeal to me. So.
Yeah.
My number four.
Yes.
Well, this is where it gets controversial. I'm
number
sure.
Four.
Portal 2.
Yes.
Portal 2 came in at number four.
Okay.
Really, I mean, you got to understand, these top five games from Mortal Kombat on for me are just games that I really enjoy playing.
Yeah.
So Portal 2, I think it's great. Very clever. Could have been a bit higher on my list. The only thing that brought it down was that I've been playing other games. And the way I sort of chose my top five list are the games that I keep going back to. Now, obviously, there is a game that I always go back to, so that's going to take preference, obviously. But Portal 2 is a very fun game, a great game that you can play, you know, with your girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, it's all good.
Yeah, beautiful. So that was your number four.
That was my four, yeah.
My number four is one that I said I probably couldn't put on my Game of the Year list, but at the end of the day, I was like, no, it was one of my favourite games this year, which was Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition.
Beautiful. I thought you were going to do it.
Yeah.
It's a great game.
It's a great game, and it was just, you know, when you look back at the games that you played this year, there is one game that I was smiling the whole time I was playing it, and that was Halo Combat Evolved. There was a certain level of nostalgia,
but it was
just proof that... A good game will stand the test of time. It doesn't matter, you know, how far things progress beyond it. Really enjoyable game.
And the 3D looks amazing in it. The HD newly rendered textures look amazing. Yeah. And the voice control with the Kinect is so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, so it works. Look, I think... every reason why it should be on a list. It's actually not on my top 10 list, but it was one of those games that I thought, oh, can I, should I? I probably should have put it on the list because it's a good game. It's an amazing game and it's definitely worth doing.
Mm.
My number three.
Yes.
Batman Arkham City.
Right.
Yeah, number three.
There you go.
Look, I enjoy the third person sort of run around, beat 'em up type game.
Yeah.
But I did find the one thing that sort of was the drawback, I thought the performances were great. I thought the graphics were great. I just felt the drawback for me was it felt repetitive, which is kind of ironic seeing like one of my top games is obviously going to be the Modern Warfare 3, which is incredibly repetitive. It's the most repetitive thing you can do because you with multiplayer just do the exact same thing on the exact same maps.
Yeah.
But I think I enjoy the interaction with other people with that. I found that, you know, if the Batman Arkham, you know, story actually had some sort of real life sort of co-op play or versus play.
Yep.
Where you could, you know, and I know Imposters is coming out real soon and I'm really excited about that. Yeah. And that's probably going to be more to my liking, really.
Right. Yeah.
So that came in number three for me. Great game. I don't need to sell that. Everybody knows how good that game is. It's got perfect scores across the board, but it came in at number three for me.
Number three for me was your number 10, L.A. Noire. When I was looking back at the year, I was, you know, it's kind of, my top three are three games that if I'd only played three games this year, I would have been happy, and these were the three games that I go, you know, some of the best games of the year. L.A. Noire, it really did get coloured by all of the controversy that followed it, you know, with Team Bondi and stuff like that. You know, some bad news coming out of it, but I tried to put that aside. It was a really great experience. You know, some of the technical advancements that have been made with this game were astounding.
Sure.
And, you know, the performances were great. I really just enjoyed the whole experience. So L.A. Noire is coming. Number three for me.
All right. Number two.
Yes.
It's going to shock you.
Yeah.
Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, right.
Number two. Look, it's certainly the game that I enjoy playing the most online, and it's certainly the game I play the most, without a doubt. I think it's, you know, the response has been that it's pretty much the same game as the other stuff. that does sort of lay weight to it and doesn't actually make it number one because it is the same game.
Yeah.
And so I feel like to give it the game of the year for me is probably not right. It's certainly the game I play the most.
Yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt. And I you know how much I love that game.
Yeah.
But it to me, it doesn't come in at number one.
Yeah.
As far as games of the year, you know, for the game of the year. So that's Modern Warfare 3.
Right. Is number game two.
Very surprised,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Number two for me was Portal 2. Just a great, great, enjoyable game. It's kind of absolutely goes hand in hand with the fact that just before I played Portal 2, I was playing Portal 1. And I'd never really played Portal. I'd had it for a couple of years or whatever, but never actually got around to playing it. And so for me, the experience of Portal 1 going into Portal 2 was great. It was such an enjoyable game. That whole puzzle-solving thing is really a lot of fun. But and the multiplayer concept, the multiplayer, the way it's executed and everything, it was just a great game. There was a lot of talk maybe because Portal 1 was actually just a sort of download add-on right. for the Orange Box and stuff like that. There was a lot of talk of is Portal enough, is a Portal 2 going to be enough to justify it being a console based purchase, right. And absolutely it was such a great fun game. So Portal 2, number 2.
And I love Steve Merchant in that.
He's great.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, right. Very funny.
Brings us to my game of the year.
Yes. Which I know what it is. I've worked it out by deduction.
That's right.
Yeah.
Driver San Francisco.
Yeah.
You said it. It surprised you.
Mm.
And it surprised me as well. Mm. I was like, it's that game. It's that go-to game where I went, wow, this is just a really well put together game.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. And the online stuff is fantastic. It has ticks in all the boxes for me.
Yeah.
And it is the game that I guess... I know the VGAs mentioned it. I don't know if it won, Driver of the Year.
Right.
But geez, I tell you what, it was the biggest surprise. I had no idea I was going to fall in love with this game. I sort of went, oh, another driver game.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. And then I played it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This blew me away. I expected Modern Warfare 3 to do exactly what it did, and it did that. So, and that's why it came in at second. But Driver San Francisco, if you have not played it, highly recommend just getting into it because it's one of those games that you'll start to play and it will surprise you.
Yeah.
So that was my game of the year.
Game of the year. Driver San Francisco. For me, number one, you've probably guessed it. My number one game of the year is... Batman Arkham City. It was, for me, I was nervous with the release coming out. Could they catch lightning in a bottle? Because Arkham Asylum was such an unknown quantity. It really surprised when it came out. And it was that thing of, well, maybe the unknown quantity of it was, the surprise was what made it seem like such a good game. Arkham City really just built on everything that they'd done before and took it to the next level. And, if nothing else... I love the fact that I just keep going back, if only to chat with Calendar Man on every holiday.
And you do.
And I do,
You do.
I'm enjoying it very much. I'm looking forward to it on Christmas. I'm looking forward to it on New Year's. These are the things that we do. So, Batman Arkham City for me is by far and away my game of the year. If I only had one, if you only got enough money to buy one game, I would say make it Arkham City.
Make it that one.
Yeah.
Speaking of Batman.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the poster.
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yes.
For those who don't know, I guess yesterday would have been the 12th of December.
Yeah.
So by the time you listen to this in 2011, the first poster of Bane with the broken Batman mask came out and it says The Legend Ends.
Yeah.
And it's for the new Dark Knight Rises. I was telling you that I'm going off to see the IMAX of Ghost Protocol on Wednesday.
Yes.
On Wednesday night, so tomorrow night. And I was wrong. I thought it came with the trailer.
Yes.
To Batman, and it doesn't.
No.
No, I was mistaken. It comes with the first 8 minutes of the movie.
Oh.
And and so I'm going to go off and see the first 8 minutes of Dark Knight Rises tomorrow at 9 p.m.
That'll do okay. The other poster that was released yesterday was the new Spider-Man for the new Spider-Man movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is it's quite a neat poster. It's basically dark. You've probably seen it by now. It's it's in a corner on a wall. And up in the top of the wall, there is Peter Parker in silhouette on the stuck to the wall, and his shadow is casting the Spider-Man symbol down the wall. It's a pretty good looking poster.
Very nice.
Quite a nice idea.
I'm a bit worried about the Spider-Man reboot because I feel like I've just seen that story.
Yeah, well, this is the thing is what it says is the untold story. So. Yeah, maybe they're you know, I think it's the Twilight story is what it's going for.
Well, and that's fine. I mean, that's the ultimate series.
Yeah.
And that used to be fantastic. I used to read that comic book like it was going out of style.
Yes.
And then it went out of style. They killed him.
Yeah.
And put him somebody else in there.
Yes. So listen, while we're on the subject of movies, we're going to get into our top movie of the year. I could probably do a top three. Could you do a top three, or do you just want to go with your one?
No, you do a top three. Let's do a top three.
I mean, we've got about 10 minutes to go here. I mean, the thing is, as I was putting my list together, I tried to put a top five together, and then realised that there wasn't, Sucker Punch almost made its way under my list. I went, yeah, I haven't seen enough movies that I enjoyed this year. Yeah. In fact, probably the movie that I enjoyed the most wasn't even released this year, and that was Monsters. But so I'll leave that off my list.
Sure.
But I'll just take this opportunity to say once again, if you've got a chance, go pick up Monsters. It's great. Number three, I am going to say for my movie list, coming in at number three would be X-Men First Class. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I really enjoyed it. It was just that feeling of returning to what was good about the first couple of X-Men movies.
Yeah, look, I actually just watched it again the other day. It is good, but it's not great.
Yeah.
And the thing that kills X-Men First Class for me is when they're all sitting around going, well, I'm going to be called Magneto. And right now you're going to be called Beast. And you're going to be called. And you're like, come on, man. And that to me was just like. And they got Havoc so wrong.
Yeah, Havoc was very poorly executed.
And it was like, you know, whatever.
But it's a weird thing because it's riddled with faults, and I can absolutely agree. And there were probably better movies, but in terms of a movie that I enjoyed, basically my top three list is movies that I will buy on DVD. I went, I want to own that. I want to watch it again. And just the general feel of X-Men First Class was my number three movie.
I'm going to go the opposite to you. I'm going to say the movies that I hated the most.
Okay.
Because there's far more of those. I watched it, and this is in no particular order. I really hated this movie. I started watching this last night just because it was on.
Yeah.
And we turned it off after about 10 minutes, 20 minutes or so. Bridesmaids, terrible.
Really?
Somebody said to me, he said, you know, go and see Bridesmaids. It's actually okay for guys to watch. It's really funny. It's not funny.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing funny in it. There's a scene where they have bad food.
Yes.
And they all get sick.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, they run into the bathroom, somebody's throwing up in the toilet, somebody's going to the toilet in the sink.
Yeah.
And it goes on for like 10 minutes. And you're like, more people throwing up in each other's hair and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, because it made so much money.
It's such a polarizing film. You know, some people, because nobody has said to me, Bridesmaids, it's all right. I've got, there's the one camp going, you've got to watch Bridesmaids, it's amazing. And the other camp is, I can't even make it through Bridesmaids. It's just useless.
It is terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with if you have any sort of, I guess, taste, don't watch that movie. And if you've seen that movie and you really like it, shame on you. Like, seriously, man.
Yeah.
Terrible. So that's my number one, actually, most hated film.
don't watch it, film. My number two is, I'm probably going to lose quite a little bit of cred with this one. It was a documentary called Love, Etc. It was on SBS, but I had a look, and it was actually just released in July this year in the US. It's basically a story of about six couples just at different stages of their relationships. Dude. You know, there's a couple that's just gotten together. It is a surprisingly enjoyable film.
Sounds like Bridesmaids to me.
I mean, this is the thing. It doesn't really fall into the geek cred thing. It was one of my most enjoyable films of this year. Just a really well put together doco, and I did get engaged this year, so I might be a little overly romantic at this point, but if you get a chance. If you wander around and you get a chance to see Love, Etc., I do recommend it. It's a pretty good film. It's a pretty good look at relationships without the sort of usual saccharine screen, I guess.
Yeah, right. Well, my number two film, and I'm going to say a positive one, was Captain America.
Yeah,
very different to that. Yeah, just really enjoyed Captain America. Lots of cool 3D fun.
Yeah,
had a ball of a time. Captain America, number two, my favorite film.
That was in my top five. I really enjoyed Captain America.
What was good?
Love, Etc.
Love, Etc. Yeah, that was beat out Captain America.
It did.
hospital aides, mate.
I'll get you.
What's your number one film?
My number one film, number one with a bang, with a bang, with a bang, with a bang, was Rise of the Planet of the Apes. It was hands down one of the best films that I saw this year. When I think back on it, it was just full of really good moments. The story, the characters, everything was developed so well with that film that it was by far and away my favourite film this year. Yeah. So Rise of the Planet of the Apes, my number one.
Your number one. Look, I'm going to throw a couple of movies that I really liked and then I'll give you my number one.
Yep.
Massive fan of Red State.
Yeah.
I thought Red State was really good, very disturbing, but I thought it was a great film. But my number one film of the year and Planet of the Apes I thought was great as well.
Yeah.
So my number one film for the whole year, The Warrior.
Right, yeah.
I just thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
And although I'm Ghost Protocol could be on that list.
Really?
I'll find it. Well, it looks great.
It does look great, but
I'm seeing it tomorrow after 8 minutes of Batman. Come on. Come on, in IMAX.
I tell you what, that is really setting themselves up. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, they've got an entire film that's got to be better than 8 minutes of Batman.
It's going to be interesting because those 8 minutes of Batman, it's apparently the prologue for Bane being created.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't know if he's getting the Titan juice in him or something. I don't know what's going on, but it's pretty exciting. I think Ghost Protocol could be on it. I really enjoyed MI3.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
That was actually a pretty good film.
So even though you hate the hoodie.
Oh, look, the hoodie works. It's just so... I'm still hip and relevant, kids.
He is.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us for this year, I think. Did you have any other news?
No, just I discovered an old iOS game, and I'm really addicted to it. It's called Temple Run. It's for free.
Oh, yeah.
And I've just been playing it heaps, and I don't know.
Did I not talk about this earlier?
Probably.
Yeah. Probably,
but I only just discovered it now.
Great game. Yeah, very, very enjoyable. Very addictive game.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I started playing Hexic again on my Xbox.
Nice.
Which is just a great game. I mean, that was a launch title.
Right.
But, great fun. What are you going to be doing over Christmas?
I'm getting ready for my movie.
Nice.
That's what I'm doing.
Nice.
So, and, you know, obviously going to try and take some time off, enjoy.
Yeah.
For like a day and then get back onto the movie. So that's what I'm doing. How about yourself?
I reckon what I'm going to do is spend quite a bit of time playing Skyrim. I'm looking forward to playing a game that I don't really need to offer an opinion on. I'll just play it for kicks.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, okay, that's the Game on TV podcast for 2011. We will be back next year, ladies and gentlemen, so stick around. And as I said, in the meantime, we will post some of the earlier episodes for you to listen to on the iTunes feed. If you would like to send us an email, send it to gameontv.oz@gmail.com. That's gameontv.oz@gmail.com. Until next year, ladies and gentlemen, I am Jason.
And I am out of here.
We will see you online.
That was the Game on TV podcast on gameontv.com.au. We hope you enjoyed the show. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa. Happy New Year. See you next year. Trousers.